where we started, and if you want to just put the first, we started with the introduction last week, and we just talked a little bit about the Bible and how God talks to us through the Word, and we talk to Him through prayer, and that as I've got that little slide for you, that little thing on the thing that says God has spoken, He's not stuttered, that was Prof. Hendricks. Of course, our goal is to understand the importance of God's Word as we study and apply and teach others. And then we have, I think the outline is that was next, and look at the outline of the study. It's going to be a lot of fun. We started with the introduction. We got in last week, why study the Bible? And we said there were three big reasons, and we looked at those. We'll just touch on them this morning. And then we're seeing Ezra's pattern. And Ezra, of course, studied, applied, and taught. That's the key. We want to have the same pattern. We want to follow that pattern and do the same thing. If we get to it, we'll continue on. We'll talk about why different interpretations. I mean, why is it that if you got godly people who say we all believe in Jesus and we love the Lord and we want to study the Bible, why is it that one can look at one passage and say, this passage means this and this is how we apply it, and somebody else looks at it and says, well, it doesn't really mean that. It means this and this is why we apply it. Why is there different interpretations? And we'll talk about our goal. And then we're going to get into actual methods of study. There's some terms you need to understand, terms like inspiration, revelation, and illumination, and those kind of terms. We'll talk about those. Then we're going to look at some different views. Views on how you interpret the Scripture. We're going to look at actually guidelines and getting into the Scripture. Then we're going to talk about bridging the gaps. There is some gaps. There's a language gap and a history gap and all those kind of gaps. We'll talk about how do you bridge the gap when you study the Scripture, because most of the time you're studying a book that's 2,000 years old. How do you bridge that gap? You know. And then we're going to actually get into some methods. So a couple of methods on how to study the Scripture for yourself, and then some tips and tools for study, just some things like that. I'll even bring, Lord willing, I'll bring in some tools. Bring them in. We'll put them right up here somewhere, and we'll talk about what these tools are and show you if you want to get them, we'll show you how to get them, that kind of thing. Well, we said, why study the Scripture? We came up with three major reasons. I think we've got them up here. Yeah, that was the summary. Why study the Scripture? Three major reasons. I think the first one is that God commands us to study the Bible. 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved. We are to rightly divide the Word of God. I mentioned last time about studying facts and books and timeline and theology and all of that. Let me tell you, with the Da Vinci Code movie is coming out. The book has been out for a long time, sold over right at 40 million copies, which people are reading it, and a lot of people actually think it's accurate. First of all, the book is a novel. Second is the historicity of the book, which he says is accurate, is very inaccurate. So when people read the book and think it's accurate, it's way off. And you need to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. Because there are going to be people come to you and say, well, I heard this about Jesus. Or isn't there books that say Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene and she's actually the Holy Grail, and there's the bloodline of Jesus, and the church has tried to cover up the fact that Jesus was just a normal person? And you'll say, no, that's not accurate at all. And so you need to be ready to give an answer. So that's why we're diligent to study. God commands us to study the Word. It is the second thing. It is God's Word from God to us. That's powerful. It's from God to us. He actually gives us His Word. Holy men of God spoke. They're moved by the Holy Spirit. It's alive. It's powerful. Never comes back void. It's the truth. All those great things. Then the third thing that we saw last time is the Word of God for us. It's for our good. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. I think at the top of the next page that we said the end results of why we should study the Bible and studying the Bible is that it matures us and equips us to serve. You know, the goal there is to, and we'll see it more from Ezra's pattern, what the ultimate goal is, but the bottom line is we want to be mature, we want to grow, we want to be able to know the Word, apply the Word, pass on the Word, that the Word of God changes us, tells us where we're right, tells us where we're wrong, tells us how to get right, tells us how to stay right, and equips us to serve. So it's powerful. So why should we study the Bible? God commands it. It's from God to us, and it's from God for us. It's for our profit. Then I think we stopped last week. We got to this little section and filled it in. But let's look at Ezra's pattern. And Ezra's pattern in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, hopefully you're there. Sometimes it's hard to find. It's the Old Testament passage. It's right after 1 and 2 Chronicles. It's Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and then you get into Job. So when you get over there to Job and Proverbs and Psalms, go back a little bit toward the front of your Bible. You'll find Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra was a scribe. In those days, a scribe was a person who copied the Scripture. And it is amazing because they copied it so exact. Now, so when there was a copy of the Bible, or there was a copy of, let's say, the Old Testament, that's what the scribes were copying, when they had, let's say, the book of Isaiah, and they were going to copy it, they copied it exactly perfect. I just want you to understand that. They didn't say, well, this is good enough for who it is. No, they never thought that. It had to be perfect. They counted every letter. They counted every mark. They counted everything as they wrote across the page. And if there was one thing wrong, they tore the whole thing up and started over. So when you talk about, is the Bible accurate, and are the copies that we have, and not even talking about Old Testament manuscripts, New Testament manuscripts, we've got 15,000 different copies, 5,000 Greek manuscripts. Are they accurate? The answer is yes. When we found the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947, it dated Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, back an additional 1,000 years, 1,000 years earlier than ever seen. And guess what? They were exactly the same as we have. Exactly. So it's been copied. Ezra was a scribe. That was his plan. He knew the Bible. He copied the Bible. In those day and time, if you had a Bible question, you wouldn't necessarily go to a rabbi. You'd probably go to a scribe, because they copied the Bible all the time. They knew the Scripture. They read it. They know it. And so if you had a Bible question, you might go to those guys. Ezra had a plan and a purpose. Notice Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra had set his heart, which means he purposed something, to do three things. I think we went over these last week, but tell them to us as we go through it. What's the first one? He set his heart to do what? Study the law of the Lord, which is study the Bible. That's number one, is to study the Scripture. He set his heart to do that. Number two, and to do what? To practice it, which means to apply it. He was going to apply the Scripture. And number three, and to do what? To teach. So his plan was to study the Bible, apply the Bible, and teach the Bible. Now, that's a key, because that's the order. You have to have that order. You're not going to teach if you don't study. And guess what? Nobody's going to listen to you teach if you don't apply. So you have to study it, then you have to apply it, and then you have to teach it. Now, a lot of people skip the second one, because what they want to do is they want to study it and teach it. But if they don't live it out, what eventually happens is people don't listen to them, because they don't see it actively working in somebody's life. So you have to study the Scripture, then apply the Scripture, and teach the Scripture. That was his pattern, and it is a great pattern, because I think that the pattern of Ezra is the pattern for us. And so we want to think about the same three things in our lives. And I think, is this about where we stopped last week? Did we get this far? Okay, if you notice, we're going to look at those three things: to study of the Word, to apply the Word, and to teach the Word. And if we finish that this morning, we'll go right on in to the part two. And if not, we'll get part two next week. But as always, as we're talking about these subjects, if you've got a question, you've got a comment, you've got an input, stop me, because this is our class. We do what we do how we want to. We're not on any timetable that says I've got to finish this today no matter what. So whatever questions, input you have, let's look at the very first thing, and that is we must study the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow by it. You're to dig the Word. We're to study it. This is different from a quiet time. A quiet time to me, now, you know, people say, do you have quiet times? Do you study? I have both. A quiet time is, to me, is where probably almost every day that I would get up and I might just read some passage of the Bible. I might read some little devotional little deal. I have my little thing that I write in. I write out prayers, or I just talk to God. You know, maybe I memorize a verse or something. But that's my quiet time. That's not the same as studying the Scripture. Now, it just so happens that my study of the Scripture ties in with my job, so I get to study the Scripture because I have to study the Scripture, you know. So I have times during the week that I study First Kings, and we're going to start First Thessalonians. Of course, Grace, we're going to start Grace tonight. On Wednesday nights, we're doing First Corinthians. Sunday school, we're doing this. There are times that I sit down and I actually study the Bible. And I'm going to show you a method called observation, interpretation, application. How to do this, how to study the Scripture for yourself. So we need to do that. Every one of us should have quiet times in which we spend time with the Lord. We talk to Him, we pray, and we read passages. I've got a little reading program that I do that is so many chapters, you know, and trying to put the Bible together, that over a period of time the Bible begins to flow together. So that's what I do. But that's not the same as Bible study. We're talking about study the Word. 1 Peter 2:2, as a baby desires the milk of the Word, you desire, as a baby desires milk, you desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow by it. You got to dig it. This is the Word of God. And that's why 2 Timothy is so powerful. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. We mentioned that verse last time, so it's not, we won't go back over it again, but you really need to know the Scripture. And I mentioned those different things. You need to know theology. You need to know the books. You need to know the timeline. You need to know the facts. And, you know, we were in my Thursday morning guys were talking, and I was going over that. And I said, you know, guys, we need to know, first of all, facts about the Bible. We need to know the books of the Bible. We need to know the timeline of the Bible. And we need to know the theology of the Bible. And then I think Stephen Hauser raised his hand and said, you know, there's one other area, JB, that we probably ought to know too. And I said, what are you thinking? And he said, the history aspect. The history, not necessarily the history of the Bible, but when you get after the end of the Bible, starting the middle of the first century all the way up, you need to know, if you can, some big ideas of what happened in the history of the church. Because, see, that's where the controversy is happening right now with the Da Vinci Code. Because it's all about what really happened. How did we get the Bible? How did these books get in what we call the Bible? And did people cover up other things? Was Jesus married to Mary Magdalene? I mean, so if we say, well, no, I know the history of the church. And I think that's maybe another thing that you should just have a working knowledge of. Not all these details and facts. Nobody can know all that. I mean, only the people who teach it, only the people who, and most people who teach it, they only have a certain area that they really emphasize in. So it's hard to know the whole thing. But just to have the idea of what happened in the first century, who were the church fathers that wrote after John died in 95 in the very beginning of the second century, who are these church fathers? And then as you get up in the second and third century, like people like Irenaeus and Tertullian and then Constantine coming along, and all of that, what happened then? And then you get a little further up, and what happened in the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, and you get on up to the Reformation, what happened then, and the Counter-Reformation. Then you get the history of the church in America and the First and Second Great Awakenings and all those things. If you just had just an overview and said, okay, I got an idea of what happened there, I got an idea of what happened there, that wouldn't hurt at all, you know. But it's hard to know all that. It's just hard. So I would recommend at least really dig the scripture and get some ideas and some other things as well. But this path, what we're talking about is actually getting into the scripture. Why? Why should we study the Bible? And I think that there's several reasons. A, the very first one is we'll know God's will. Now, people are always saying things like, I want to know God's will. Where is God's will found? God's will is found in God's Word. I want you to understand that. There's a lot of people who think it's different than that, but the truth is, you know God's will for your life based on God's Word for your life. Romans 12:2, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Verse 1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, which is spiritual service and worship. Then he says, be not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your mind, putting the Word of God, so that you may know what is. What the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. How do you know God's will for your life? You know God's will for your life as you study the Scripture. There are a whole bunch of things, and this is where people get confused. They say, like, how do I know whether to buy this house or not? How do I know whether to take this job or not? That's not found in the Scripture. You got freedom. Do whatever you want to do. But you have specific rights and wrongs in the Scripture that you are to know and to live out. That's the will of God. So why do you study the Scripture? So you'll know God's will. So you'll know God's truth for your life. And there are places that it says it. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God concerning you. That's God's will, that you rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. So when you're not thankful in everything, you're going contrary to the will of God. This is the will of God. Your sanctification, that is, you abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. That's the will of God. So if you came to me and said, can you tell me God's will for my life? I can tell you some of it. I can tell you the ones that he's written down for you. That's why you study the Bible, so we can know it. B, why do we study the Bible? We'll grow and mature. That's the plan, to make us like Christ. You remember the Ephesians passage, which is my favorite. When I came to Countryside years ago, at the very first time when I came, so the men, both of them, sit down and talk to me. And they said, what are we supposed to do? And I said, well, I think we're supposed to do Matthew 28:18-20, which is to make disciples. That's evangelism and training. But how do we do that? I think is the Ephesians 4:12-16. Actually, Ephesians 4, you can start back at verse 11, where he said he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. He gave people with spiritual gifts to do what? Equip the saints to do the work of the ministry for the building of the body of Christ. Till what? Till we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure, stature, fullness, the fullness of Christ. Then he says, as a result, you're no longer children. And tossed here and there by every wave, carried about by every wind of doctrine. And then he goes on to say, you grow up and mature, and the whole body fits together and does the thing. That's Ephesians 4:11-16. That's what you do with the Scripture. You take it, you learn it, and what it's going to do is it's going to equip you and train you and mature you. Like we looked at that passage in 2 Timothy 3, verse 17, where it says the Word of God there will mature you and prepare you to serve. So why in the world do we study the Bible? So you know God's will. Why do you study the Bible? So you'll grow and mature. Now, the key to growing mature is not just to study the Bible. You must do what with it? apply it. You have to. I remember Prof. Hendricks, and we'll get to this in just a minute, but in seminary, Prof. Hendricks used to say, he'd start the class off, and he'd say, what is the goal of the study of the Word of God? And it was the very start of the semester for all the new guys, and everybody would shout out, to know the Bible! He'd go, no, that's not it. That's not it. Sorry, guys. The goal of the study of the Word of God is to apply it. You have to know it, but the goal is not just to know it, because knowledge by itself does what? Puffs up. You have to apply it. That's the key. So that's why we want to know it, so that we can grow and mature. We know God's will, we grow and mature. And then the third thing is that we'll have victory in the Christian life. We'll be able to stand against the devil, because the Word of God tells us to put on the full armor of God, that you may stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Why? Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that you can stand. The Bible tells us that. That's how you can have victory. You can be grounded in the truth. Colossians 2, 6 through 8 talks about being grounded so that you won't be tossed back and forth. The Bible tells us to put the Word of God in our minds. Know it so. Psalm 119, 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin. So the bottom line is, you study the Word of God so that you can have some victory as you're making application, as you're knowing the Word of God, as you're digging it and putting it together, as you're knowing God's will for your life, you can have victory as we stand against the devil, be grounded in the truth, and not sin. So when people say, why should we study the Bible? So that we can do these things. And I think it's A, B, and C, I think, as we've got it. So you should dig it. And I'm going to show you how. Before the class is over, not today, but before we're through with this stuff, we're going to go with some methods so that you can say, how could I open up, say, Philippians? Or open up 1 Thessalonians or some book, and how do I study it? How do I get it? I'm not talking about quiet time, just reading and going, that's nice. I'm talking about digging it. How do I do that? We're going to show you a way to do that so you can feel confident that you can look at it. You know what you'll do? You'll get it. You'll start studying. You'll observe it. You'll interpret. You'll apply it. You'll put it together. And then you'll read some commentary and you'll say, that guy saw the same thing I saw. Because you will understand the scripture and put it together. It's powerful stuff. Second part, the second thing, not only do you study it, but you have to apply it. You have to apply it. The goal of the study of the Word of God is application. Just remember that. When you're studying a passage and you're saying, I'm studying Philippians, the goal of studying Philippians is not just to know the letter to the Philippians that Paul wrote when he was in prison in Rome to these Philippians about joy in the Christian life. That's not the goal. The goal is to take the truths and principles found in the letter and make application in your life that it would change us to be different people. That's the goal. So the goal is application. It's not just to increase our knowledge. We're to apply it. Look at, just kind of hold your place in Ezra and turn over to Hebrews 5 for just a second. It's almost all the way to the back of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 5. It's a great passage. It's a famous passage. And if you got your Bibles, turn there. If you don't, I'm going to read it to you, but it'd be great to look at it because it's more fun to look at it and see it. But Ephesians chapter 5 is the writer of the Hebrews, and we don't know who it was, is writing to these believers, these Jewish believers, and he's getting on to them because they have become believers, but they haven't grown at all. They haven't applied the word. And look what he says to them in verse 12. It's an amazing statement. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. He's really getting on to them because he says, see, by this time you ought to have been applying the Bible enough that you can live it out and that you ought to be teaching other people. But somebody's got to go back and teach you the basics again. Look down at verse 14. For solid food, that's digging the deep stuff, is for the mature people who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That's the whole idea of practice, application. He's saying, he's paying these people. He said, by this time, you ought to be teaching other people, but somebody's got to start you all over because you've forgotten all the stuff. You don't even know the basics because you haven't been applying, because a mature person is one that applies the truth so you know the rights and the wrongs, that by practice you're able to discern. And that's the sign of maturity, is being able to teach. The sign of maturity is taking in solid food. The sign of maturity is application. Being by practice, have their senses trained for good and evil. Philippians 4:9, Paul writes and says, all these things that I've taught you, you practice these things. And of course, we all know Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Whatever you do in word or deed, it's not just what you say, it's what you do. And so it is so powerful that we must not only study it and say, I got it. I know what this passage is about. You have to apply it. That's why on a Sunday morning, we go up and we read the Bible and then we teach through the passage. But what's the last thing we try to do? Applications. We say, here's the applications. Here's how we want to try to learn from these passages. That's the key. Then there's a third thing, and that is to teach the Word. And I think this is the best one. And when I say the best one, because this is the one that passes it on. So many people, when you hear the Word or they hear the idea, teach the Word, we think something like this. We say, well, some people are teachers. Like JB gets to teach. He gets up front. He's got the gift of teaching. He teaches the Word. I don't have the gift of teaching, so I don't really have to teach the Word. Well, when this says teach the Word, it's not talking about the gift of teaching the Word. It's talking about taking the truths that you know and communicating them to other people. One of the signs of maturity, when it's given the list of elders in a church, in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, it says, able to teach. It didn't say have the gift of teaching. It means able to teach. And as people grow and mature, they take truths that they know, apply them in their lives, and then they are able to pass them on to other people. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, take the things you've been taught in the presence of many witnesses and entrust these to faithful people. The Great Commission has to do with teaching the Bible. You may not realize that. A lot of people think the Great Commission is sharing your faith. The Great Commission is to make disciples. Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and make disciples. That's the charge. He says, as you are going, as you are baptizing, as you are teaching. The Great Commission, making disciples, is leading people to Christ and then training them and equipping them. So every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're not only to study the Scripture, we're to live out the Scripture, and we're to pass on the Scripture to other people. It would be great if every one of us had a little group that you're teaching, passing on truths. You could say, well, I could probably think of some people I could say, well, y'all want to get together, but what in the world would I teach them? Well, I think the Bible would be the key thing to teach them. But we have the thing we call the 412 foundations, which is based off the Bible. If you've been through the 412, you have the privilege and the right and the responsibility to take other people through the 412. We even have a teacher's edition, so you can go through it, and then you got the teacher's things, got all the answers in case you forgot them, and you can help teach other people. So as you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you study it, you apply it, you pass it on. That's the key. That's the thing. Study. And so we must study, apply, and teach. I know that's the bell, so we've got about 5 minutes. But look at the very back, because I want you to see the applications. But let's think about this. As we begin our study of these principles, we want to encourage each of us to study it, apply it, pass it on. Because why do we study it? Well, God says to do it. It's God's word to us, and it's for our benefit. What pattern do we use when we study? Well, we use Ezra's pattern, which is to study it, apply it, and to pass it on. So now what we're going to do next time, when we get into this, in part two, I've got at the very start, it says, the foundation for our growth, maturity, and ministry is the word of God. We have just a little bit of review, and then we start on page two. Why are there different interpretations? And I got five answers, five things for you, and then we're going to actually get into the methods of studying the Bible. And so in the next 2 to 3 to 4 lessons, we're going to get more and more practical as we go through this. It's theological to begin with. Here's the basis for it. Now let's get practical. Now that's how you study and teach as well. If you've ever read Philippians, chapters 1 and 2, theological, chapters 3 and 4, practical. If you've read Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, who we are in Christ, that's very theological. Chapters 4, 5, and 6, how we live out who we are, practical. Romans chapters 1 through 11, who we are in Christ, what's the theological teaching? Chapters 12 through 16, here's how we apply it. That's how Paul wrote. He gives you the theological basis, and then he says, now live this out. In our study, we're going to give you the theological basis for why do we study the Bible, how we study it, or what we're supposed to do, and then we're going to get very practical on how do you actually do it. And many of you have come to me in the past and said, I'd like to study the Bible, but I really don't exactly know how. Well, that's what we're going to try to do, and I think it'll be fun. Let me give you some applications. Make as a priority the study of the Word of God. Make that a priority. Decide that's what you're going to do. Remember what Ezra did? Ezra purposed in his heart. Ezra decided, I think it's important that we do that. And A is God commands us to study the Word. If you don't study the Scripture, and I'm not talking about a quiet time, I'm saying if you don't systematically study the Scripture, you're not obeying the command to study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed. Handling accurately the Word of God. So God commands us to do that. Let's do it. B, realize that we have God's revelation to us in written form. What you hold in your hand is from God. It is the Bible. It is perfect. It is accurate. Regardless of what somebody, Dan Brown or anybody else might say, you hold in your hand copies of God's revelation to mankind in a written form. And it is perfect. It is accurate. It is true. You can rest. You can base your life on it. And then C, follow Ezra's pattern. Ezra's pattern is to study it and to apply it and then to teach it, to pass it on. I think that's very powerful. We want to do that. Let me do this. Let's open up any questions or anything, because I know the other bell's going to ring in just a second. Any questions or comments about anything today? Okay. So we all got it, right? Yeah, we got it. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for these truths about your word. And Lord, we thank you that you have commanded. You've commanded us to dig the Scripture, to study to show ourselves approved, to handle accurately the word of God. So may we do that. Lord, we realize that you have given to us in a written form your word. And you have superseded the copying and the transmission of it, not only giving it originally to people who wrote it down perfectly, but as the years have gone by and all the copies that have been made, you've made sure that you've superseded that those copies are accurate. Thank you, Lord. So we have in our hands your revelation to us. Thank you. Lord, we pray that we'll follow the pattern of Ezra, that he studied it. And Lord, we want to study it. We want to learn how to study it. We want to make sure we know how to do it. And then we want to live it out, Lord, because we know that's the goal. The goal of the study of the Word of God is to apply it, because we want our lives to be changed. We want to be different people. And then finally, Lord, we want to pass it on to others, knowing that we may not have the gift of teaching, but we are able to communicate your truths to others. We can take the things you've taught us, Lord, and pass them on to others as well. Thank you for this class and this time. Most of all, Lord, thank you for our Savior Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.